Well, good morning, everybody. Glad you're here. Happy Father's Day to all of you dads and father figures and people pouring into everybody. I echo what Laura said. Man, this last week was awesome at NTS camp and seeing all of our leaders pour in to the students. It was amazing. I will mention a couple of things about that later on. But man, it was awesome. I just have to tell you, the truth is, I feel my body and my mind and my emotions feel like I've been run over by a bus several times, but my heart and my soul are full. more full than it can be. God did unbelievable things this week in the lives of our teens. And you'll hear about some of those things, and you'll have a recap video that will kind of share some of those things. But today, we need to dig in. So before I became a pastor, I was a teacher. I taught public high school. I taught history and political science and law and justice and all these social science stuff. But one of my favorite classes that I got to teach was geography. I love geography. I love studying maps. I love looking at maps. I love learning countries and where the countries are and rivers and capitals. Some of you I know, you're like, that's dumb. You're weird. And I get that. But I love geography. And one of my favorite things when I taught geography is at the end of the semester, I always did it at the end of the semester, I gave my students an extra credit test. So if they needed some extra credit points, I gave them a test and I had them study and learn the countries of Africa. And Africa is a continent, man, that it is just full of so many countries, such a wide variety of countries. And it was my favorite test to give because I love studying all the countries of Africa, the cultures, all the things. In fact, one of my favorite countries is Kenya. When I was a little dude, like elementary school, they gave me a project and I had to choose an international country to like draw their flag and learn about them. And I chose Kenya because it has a cool flag and really interesting stories. But I want to show you a couple of pictures. First one is a map of Africa, just so you can kind of see where it is. You have to look to the east side of Africa, East Africa. For those of you directionally challenged, that would be the right side of the map there. And you'll see the country of Kenya there on the very, very right, just underneath Ethiopia. The Nile River actually, interesting, like stops kind of in Ethiopia, just north of Kenya there. But the capital of Kenya is Nairobi, a huge city called Nairobi. And I want to show you a couple of pictures of Nairobi because most people don't even know what to think about when they think of Nairobi, okay? So there's Nairobi, there's the skyline. And I just decided for fun, show the next picture. This is a house that is for sale in Nairobi. How cool is that? How many of you would like to move to Nairobi, Kenya, right now? You're like, I'm ready. Let's go. Book the ticket. Let's do this. That is gorgeous. Okay, that's awesome. Here's the problem. We always take pictures of what we want to see. Let me show you another picture of Nairobi. Here's a different skyline. Do you see the skyline in the background that we just saw? Way in the background. All of that you see there, those are houses. Shanty houses. That's the suburb of Nairobi. Let me give you a closer up picture. This is what it looks like. Now, the reason I did that to you, some of you are like, oh, is because I want to prove a point. We, as human beings, our emotions, our thoughts, our gratitude, our thankfulness can change in a snap because of what is going on around us, what we're seeing, what we're hearing. Can't it? You just went from wanting to go to Nairobi to feeling sorry about Nairobi in a matter of seconds. And it was simply because I showed some pictures. How quickly can we shift in our attitude and our gratitude and how we feel? At first, we're like, man, I'm not doing as good as people in Nairobi. And then I showed you a different angle, a different view, same city. And you go, actually, you know what? I'm doing okay. Isn't that what a lot of you felt? I did when I saw these. And so here today, we're going to dig into this. And I want to just kind of dig into this because maybe you realize, maybe you don't, but we're going to talk about something that matters so much. We're going to talk about gratitude today. gratitude. So we're in a three-part series, sermon series, called Rest. We're simply talking about rest. And some of you might wonder, why in the world are we talking about gratitude when we're talking about rest? Here's why. Because one of the biggest reasons we don't have rest is because we don't have enough gratitude. My guess is maybe you've never tied rest and gratitude together, and yet it's absolutely critical. Rest and gratitude. Rest actually stems from, flows from gratitude, or the lack of. And so today we're going to get into that. What if, let me just ask you this question. What if gratitude is deeper than a momentary response to your surroundings? You know what I'm saying? Thank you is good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's a wonderful version of gratitude. But what if gratitude is much deeper than a momentary response to a gift or to a moment? I would like to contend that it is. And I want to fight for a reality today that says that the lack of rest in our culture is largely tied to the lack of gratitude that we have. I think the deficiency in rest is tied to our deficiency in gratitude. I really do. And so today, I want to suggest that the biggest piece of rest that we need is to be more grateful, is to increase our gratefulness. And so before I get into God's word and start digging into what scripture says about all of this, let me just say that science, I don't know about you, but I love science. Do you guys love science? I love science. I love science because I love how science discovers things that we didn't know. But can I just tell you what science is? Science is the human version of us discovering what God already knows, already did, and is already doing, right? And we're like, whoa, gravity, that is so cool. And God says, I know, right? Science is simply discovering what God already knows, already did, already is doing. And one thing that we've discovered as human beings over the last few decades is we've done a lot of studies, a lot of scientific studies about people, about relationships, about gratitude, our brain, our thought life. And you know what we found? You know what science has discovered? You know what we as human beings have realized? Gratitude is really good for our health. It's really good for our health. It's good for your body. It's good for your brain. Did you know that simply being grateful can decrease anxiety? If you feel anxious, start looking toward gratitude. Some of you are like, that's dumb. I can see you. You're like, yeah, it's not going to help me be less anxious. It will. Because it literally, we've measured this. It changes the chemicals in your brain when you start shifting toward gratitude. We can map it now. Depression begins to decrease. Relationships gain more trust with gratitude. Your bodies feel better and more whole. Gratitude is like vegetables and fruits and minerals and vitamins, like those are for your body. Gratitude is for your heart and your soul and your mind and your relationships and literally everything else in your life. Gratefulness brings rest because it's good for us. Now, gratitude is obviously more than saying thank you. It's more than that. Now, I'm assuming in here that all the parents in the room, my guess is most of us, almost all of you, maybe all of you, probably teach your kids to say thank you after somebody does anything big or small for them, right? My guess is that's what you do. When somebody hands them a candy bar or a lollipop or a popsicle or somebody opens the door for them or whatever the case is, what do you say? You say, what do you say? Because we look like really bad parents if we say, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you, under our breath, because nobody else is hearing you and seeing you do this to them. And it makes us, you know why, in fact, let's be honest, really quick, really real. Why do we do that as parents? There's two reasons. One, we tell our kids to say thank you because we want everybody to know we're a good parent. We don't want anybody to be, we don't want to be embarrassed. Oh man, my kid's a jerk. So we want to guard against that. That's one reason. But there's a much better reason why we do this as parents. Much better than just we don't want to be embarrassed. We need to be real. That's one reason. But the second reason is much better. And that is because we don't want them just to say thank you. It's not about the words. It's about having gratitude. It's about a mindset, isn't it? When somebody does anything for you, you better be grateful. We're trying to shift their brain to say, you need to be grateful for who you are, for what you have, for who's around you. Be grateful. Be grateful. And thank you is just one small cue to say our mindset is there. And so we like to do that. So, if gratitude is so good, how do we do it? How do we have a mindset of gratitude? Well, let me give you, I'm going to give you one point today. It's one point. It's very simple. If you get nothing else, this will help you have gratitude. Change your focus. Look at different things. Focus on different things. See different things. Or you might have to do this. You might have to look at the same things or the same people differently. Ooh. The biggest part of gratitude is not seeing new things or having new things or changing the people around you. Sometimes gratitude is simply seeing the people and the things around you in a different light. Gratitude. So how do we do it? Well, let's go to a story in Scripture where Jesus' disciples, just to say this right out of front, they did not have gratitude. They got it wrong. They just didn't have that mindset. They struggled with it in this story. And I don't know about you, but I love that the Bible, God's Word, puts all of everybody's good stuff and their failures in there. Because when I see their failures, I'm like, okay, there's hope for me. Anybody with me on that? Oh, there's hope for me. Praise God. Thank you for letting their failures be known because I was feeling pretty rotten. And so this story is about the disciples, Jesus and two of the disciples. It starts with a conversation with Jesus and James and John. Okay, so we're going to be in Mark chapter 10. I'm going to start with verse 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is your request? He asked. By the way, just pause there. Isn't it funny that Jesus asks them what the request is, even though he already knows what they're about to do? It's like Jesus is like, yeah, sure. I wonder if in the back of his heart and mind, Jesus is like, oh, here we go. Because he knows what's coming. What is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? He's talking about crucifixion. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. We don't use that word. It means they were angry. Because James and John were trying to get the two spots next to Jesus ahead of them. It wasn't that they were angry. It was that they were angry that they asked first. They were like, oh, James and John, We should have asked that first. It wasn't that they were like, so holy and pious. No, they were mad that James and John asked first. But I want to sit. I thought I was going to be sitting next to Jesus. So Jesus called them together and said, you know what the rulers in this world lorded over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, listen to this, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, I thought we were talking about gratitude. That didn't even say gratitude, not even once. Some of you are thinking that, aren't you? You're thinking, man, you were at NTS too long. You did get run over by a bus. You're not thinking straight. No, no, no. Actually, this story is all about gratitude. Even though I didn't even say a word about thankfulness or gratitude. It's all about gratitude. The lack of it. See, at this point, the disciples, they've been walking with Jesus. They've been living with Jesus. They've been learning from Jesus. Jesus has taught them. Jesus has done miracles. He's healed people. Jesus has fed the thousands of people with, you know, just a small amount, just a McDonald's Happy Meal. Fish sandwich, you know, a few fries. Okay, it was actually bread and fish, but you get the point. Okay, small amount of food, and he fed thousands of people. Jesus has walked on water. Jesus has used his hands or his words to calm storms instantly. He's done all of that. And the disciples are worried about who gets to sit next. I sit next to Jesus. No, I want to. This is adult version of toddler behavior. Jesus, when you get to your throne, I want to sit next to you. That's exactly what's going on here. And the other 10 disciples are like, no, we wanted to, but you asked first. That's not fair. Why are they doing this? Because of a serious lack of gratitude. They have Jesus, the Savior of the world, right there. He chose them to be one of the 12 disciples. And that's not good enough. That's not good enough. That's crazy. Their lack of gratefulness in this moment is astounding. And Jesus calls this out. And he says, no, no, no. Among you, what does he say? Among you, it must be, what was the word that he used? What did he say? It has to be different. You have to be different. You have to be different. What you have, you aren't supposed to chase everything in this life, in this world, like everybody else does. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful for what we have, for who we are, for what God is doing, for what God has done. But I don't know about you, that's hard. It's easy to say we need to do that, but it's hard to do it, isn't it? Gratitude, gratefulness, to be different than everybody else. I mean, when I see somebody with the latest, greatest iPhone, and they have 27 more pixels than my camera has, I am just, come on, I'm living in squalor here. We make fun, don't we, in the United States, but it's true. Like, ooh, they make them in blue now? Oh, I've got to have one. Right? They've got them with sparkles. I need an iPhone with sparkles. You know, we get this mentality where we have to run, we have to chase, we have to get there, we have to keep up. And Jesus says, let's just be grateful. We've got to be different. I love there's an article that talks about this mindset. We have to choose to be different. We have to choose to think differently. We have to choose to look differently. Listen to what it says. It'll be on the screen. Just follow along. Powerful words. It says this. It says, it's about choosing to notice what is still good. Catch this. Even when not everything feels good. We could just stop there. That's good enough. But let's keep going. A grateful heart is a mindset of awareness. It means recognizing the small comforts, quiet wins, and everyday blessings that often go unnoticed. It's appreciating what you have without constantly chasing what's next. Just pause there. I struggle with chasing what's next. I do. I'm a leader mindset. I'm like, we got to do better. We got to do more. We got to do this greater. I'm always thinking that way. I am. Now, I think part of that, a piece is healthy. Right? We don't get anywhere unless we're actually challenging ourselves and challenging the comfort level. So I get that. I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about my gratitude and my satisfaction and my contentment. I struggle with contentment. I struggle with satisfaction because I always know there's more. We could do better. We could reach more people for Jesus. Sometimes it's really good stuff. We could reach more people for Jesus. Well, anybody would think that's good. But the problem is sometimes I don't celebrate the person that just gave their life to Jesus today. I'm moving to the next person already. And I don't stop and say, God, you're awesome. Thank you for doing what you're doing. Gratitude has to be different. It changes this. It's appreciating what you have without constantly chasing what's next. Gratitude isn't just a fleeting feeling. It's a practice. Catch that? It's not a moment. It's a practice. It's constant. The more you intentionally look for things to appreciate, the more naturally your mind begins to notice them. When you cultivate a grateful heart, you're not denying challenges. You're simply refusing to let challenges be the only story you tell yourself. Over time, this shift in perspective can help you feel more grounded, more content, and more resilient, even during difficult seasons. That's powerful. So I just want to encourage you, do some things that changes your focus, starts putting gratitude into your heart and soul on a regular basis. Let me give you some suggestions. Maybe when you pray, instead of starting by asking God what you want or what you need, start by simply telling him thank you for everything. Start with gratitude. God, thank you that I'm alive today. Did anybody thank God for the fact that they're alive today? You could. It's kind of a big deal. Thank you, God, that I get to eat food today. Thank you, God, that food tastes good. God could have made food something that we just have to do. I had some thoughts. I'm not going to share those, but there's some things that we have to do. Brushing my teeth. Can I just say I don't enjoy that, but we have to do it. But God made eating food, like, enjoyable. I love jerky. I also love steak. No, that's not in our budget. Sorry, gentlemen, it's not. Walk in and get like a 12-ounce steak on Sunday morning. That'd be interesting. Yeah, dig into that. Medium rare, please. God's blessings are there. Start by thanking God for who he is and what he's doing and who you are. Thank God that you're alive. Thank God that you have a house. Thank God that you actually have a car. Thank God for whatever. Start making a list of things that you're grateful for. Put it in your phone every day. Put it on paper somewhere. Stick it on, hang it from your mirror in your car so you realize it. You can pray and be thankful on the way to work. Thank God that you have a job. Even though Joe Schmo 1 and 2 and 3 employee drive you crazy, thank God that you don't have to do their work. Some of you are like, no, I do. That's why I don't like them. That's where my brain went, so I just had to say that one out loud. I've been there. Be grateful. When you have the opportunity to go first, choose to go last. I shouldn't tell you guys this at all. This is your pastor speaking, so this is not good. But I do a lot of weddings. I officiate a lot of weddings, you know, as a pastor. And so I go to a lot of weddings and I stay, and they usually want me to pray. Figure that, the pastor pray for the meal. And so I pray for the meal usually. And so I stay for the meal usually. And then I go home because it's usually Saturday. And guess what? I get to do it again on Sunday morning and preach. And so I get home, but I stay usually for the meal if they want me to pray. And I'll pray and do all that. But I usually will just take a glance at the dessert table. And you know what I do? Any of you have been, you've maybe seen me do this. Now, those of you, I'm literally doing a wedding. I see you guys. I'm doing a wedding in like 3 weeks, okay? So they're going to be watching. Now you know my trick. I go to the dessert table first, and I grab whatever it is, because there's always an array, and you always know there's favorites. There are favorite desserts, and I'm like, man, if I wait until I get through the main line, those suckers are gone. So I take that, set it at my spot, and then I go get the meat, because there's always plenty of meat. There's always plenty of meat, but there's not always the top dessert. And so I grab that. Don't do that. Don't be like your pastor. Be grateful. I'm just being real today. It's the truth. I've done it. Not every wedding, but I've done a lot. Like, man, I gave the message for this wedding. I deserve a piece of scotcheroo or whatever it is, you know. Be grateful. Choose to go last. Choose to put others first. Choose to be grateful that you just get to be alive and be grateful. It'll change how you feel. It'll change who you are. It'll change people around you. And it will bring rest to your heart and soul. It will. Now, let's fast forward. The disciples didn't get it right that first time, but I want to fast forward. So Peter, Simon Peter, one of the disciples, he clearly got his focus right at some point, because then he writes a New Testament book called 2 Peter. It's a letter, and he's writing to some people, and he's instructing them how to focus, or where they need to put their focus. They need to put their focus on God. I want to read this. This is the very beginning of his letter. Listen to what it says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. This letter is from Simon Peter. He's telling us who's writing it, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. So there's a lot there. Let's go back. We're going to unpack it very, very quickly. Verse 1, I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. Peter is simply saying, I'm writing to people who are followers of Jesus. He's writing to all of you. So if you claim to know Jesus here, he's writing to you. He is speaking to all of us who follow Jesus. He's writing to Christians, okay? Verse 2, he says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Do you want to know how to get more grateful? Get closer to God. You want to know how to have more grace and peace in your life? Get closer to God. Chase after God. Run toward God. Now, God has already run to you. He already died on the cross for you. He already gave everything he has. But now God says, I simply want you to learn more about me. Come to know me. And Peter is saying, this is my prayer for you. He's writing at the very beginning of his letter. First things that he says, I want you to chase after Jesus. Get closer to God. Because why? Because that will make you more and more grateful for who you are and who he is. And that will change your perspective, and it will give you more peace and more rest and more joy than you ever could imagine. But you got to get closer to Jesus. Get closer to God. That's what he's saying. More and more and more grateful. And you know what being more grateful does? It changes our perspective. So if you've been to Northridge for any length of time, you've probably already seen me do this. So I need help. Evie, would you be willing to help me? Can you come grab the end of this rope? Nate, you're right there, dude. Thank you for being there. Can you grab the other end of that rope and then just stretch it? Just take it all the way out there. Thank you, Evie. Nate and Evie were both at NTS camp, and I'm making them get in front of everybody. They're like tired. Okay, can you guys lift that up real quick? I won't have you hold it long. Well, maybe not too long. I don't know. We'll see. You guys are great. Here's the deal.
Okay? If you've been to Northridge, you already know this illustration, okay? But I'm bringing it back because it's important. We have to change our perspective. Imagine that this rope goes forever that way and forever with that way. It doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. It goes past Nate and past Evie, okay? Now, this is eternity. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pinch it right here. You know what that signifies? You guys are doing great. I know, you're doing awesome. Okay, this signifies your life and my life. This little pinch is your life in the span of eternity. That goes forever. That goes forever. God's the only one that never had a beginning. The rest of us have a beginning. But did you know that we never end? Did you know you will never end? You will be eternal somewhere. The Bible's very clear about that. This pinch, Bible says we are a breath. We are a mist, a vapor. Okay? Just a few more seconds, guys. You guys are doing awesome. Hear me. Okay? Everybody lives for the pinch. You need to stop. The pinch is not where it's at. Look at this compared to that and that forever. Eternity is what we have to live for. Eternity. All right, you guys are good. You can just set it down. Thank you. We get this idea. They even put the rope back where it goes. Give him a hand. That was good work. Thank you, guys, seriously. We need to stop thinking that this is all there is. It's not. In fact, it's far less important than eternity. I'm not saying it's not important. Trust me, I've got an amazing wife. I love my wife, Laura. I do not want to ever be separated apart from her. I have three amazing kids. I love them. I would die for them. This matters. This life matters. I'm not saying this pinch doesn't matter. I'm saying it has to be put in the proper perspective of everything else, which is eternity, and say that everything in this life matters only in light of eternity. That's why we spent so much money and so much time and so much energy to go down to NTS camp, because we want every teen, every human being, every person, to everybody to know who Jesus is so that they can spend eternity with God when they leave the pinch. If we change our mindset, then all of a sudden we're going to be really grateful for the fact that we have a pinch at all. This increases all of our gratitude. I've never been next to somebody's deathbed and said, bring me my bonus check. I want to see my bonus check one more time. Never been next to somebody's last final hours or final days and they said, you know what? Could you just take me to my work and I just want to see my work desk one more time? Could you take me out and show me my sports car? Man, I really need to see my sports car one more time. Nobody's ever done that. You know what everybody wants? Everybody wants the same two things. They want the people that they love, and they want to know they're good with God. That's it. Because those are the most important things. The question is, are we actually living like that? Not in our final days, but every day. Grateful. Grateful for who we are, who we know. Let's go to the last verse, 2 Peter 1:3. He says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. This is something very simple. I want you to catch this. You have everything you need right now to be grateful and to live a godly life. Some of you are waiting to be happy. Stop waiting. If you're waiting to be happy, you're going to wait.
because you have everything you need right now to live a grateful and God-honoring, godly life right now. Every person on planet Earth does right now. We have everything we need. And when we are grateful, it will start to settle your life, steady your life in such a powerful way. Let me try to illustrate this quickly. So I want to show you a picture. This picture is a picture of a marine gyroscope. Anybody like that? I mean, anybody get excited about this kind of stuff? I do. I'm like, ooh, that's really cool. I definitely have no idea how they designed it or how it works or how it really acts, you know, but it's a marine gyroscope. Okay, let me show you. This is a picture of this same thing. That's a diagram. Go to the next picture. This is a gyroscope in a boat. So a gyroscope is made to be installed in a yacht or a boat or some any kind of sea craft. And this particular company is called Seakeeper. That's a Seakeeper. And it's a gyroscope. And you know what it does? It keeps boats more steady when they're on the waves. So have you seen boats that are doing this? You know, like those guys that they blow up the things. And boats on the ocean or in major waves are like, whoa, they're rocking back and forth. The Seakeeper is a gyroscope that steadies the boat. Okay? Now, what's really cool is this company called Seakeeper, they made a video to illustrate the difference between a boat that has a gyroscope and a boat that doesn't. This doesn't have any sound. It's only like 30 seconds long, but take a look at this. It's cool. They show you how this works. Can you tell? I love how they had the other boat make the waves, right? So we could see how crazy it is. I mean, look at that boat on the right. How many of you want to be on the boat on the right? here's another serious question. How many of you feel like your life is like that boat on the right? Can I tell you how to solve that? There's a lot of answers, but one way is through gratitude. Gratitude is like a gyroscope that settles you. Man, they don't have any of the desserts I want. Or they have all the desserts I want. Doesn't matter. My gratitude says, I'm here. I've got human beings that matter around me. The dessert doesn't matter. Gratitude says, God is good all the time, no matter what is going on around you. Gratitude says, you're good. God is good. You may not feel good, things may not be great, but you can be grateful. I've been plenty of hard seasons, a few hard seasons in my own life. You guys know that. I've shared those pretty openly with you guys before. Gratefulness cuts through whether things are good or not. God cuts through whether things are good or not. I want to end by sharing one final thing. It actually is about NTS camp. I'm going to have to struggle to get through this. So at NTS camp, we had, this is the biggest camp we've ever, it's the most that students we've ever brought. We brought 82 people down to NTS camp this year, which is amazing. Two full, like almost full coach buses. Full with the luggage, I can tell you that. But it was the biggest NTS camp week also that they've ever, that we've ever been to. 1,100 teenagers at a camp at the same time. Imagine that. That's why I feel like I've been run over by a bus. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So in the evenings, we always have chapel, of course, worship service. And let me tell you, you have not worshiped until you've worshiped with 1,100 teens in a mosh pit at the stage with their hands in the air, jumping
and praising God, or when they get to the serious stuff, their arms are out. It's just, it's unreal. One of the biggest reasons we go, because some of your kids need to experience worship uninhibited. We do okay here. We're nowhere near what heaven's going to be like. NTS is closer. I'll just say that. They're like, wow. My calves hurt at the end of worship after that. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. I'm breathing heavy, God. You're good. It's awesome. So one of the chapels they had, it was a commitment chapel, and they gave commitments for three different groups of people. The first one was first-time commitments. People had never given their life to Jesus and said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, stand up. And they stood up, and then they went up to a microphone in front of 1,100 students and declared, I can't remember the phrase, Jesus is Lord or something like that. It wasn't that, but they declared that Jesus is Lord. 120 of them did that. And then the next group was, if you want to recommit your life, if you gave your life to Jesus already, but you really haven't been following him, you really, like, it was a moment, but you really haven't done it, then you can recommit. And, I mean, the aisles were flooded. We were there for, like, 20 minutes because they all went up to the front, and they had this banner that said, Create in me a clean heart, and they all signed their name on that banner if they wanted to recommit their life to Jesus. Hundreds went forward on that one. And then the third group, they've never done this before, but the third group, they said, now maybe you're here and you already gave your life to Jesus. You don't need to recommit. You are following God faithfully. You're digging into this in scripture, into word, and you need to get up front and you're going to go up. And so they had just a few, we couldn't bring everybody up, but a few up there behind that banner. And here's what they did. Okay. In a moment, I'm going to show you the picture, not yet, but in a moment, I want to show you this. And the person that was running this, she said, okay, on three, you're going to raise the banner. And they raised up that banner, and they had all those names of the recommitments. The first-time commits had already said something in the microphone. And then all of the people in the room, then we prayed for everybody, and everybody's hands were out. 1,100 students' hands were out praying for the people that have been praying for them, the ones who have been walking with Jesus. And there was this massive moment where everybody was in one unison voice. All, hey, we're praying for everybody. We're praying for everybody in this room to know Jesus. 1,100 students plus adults, so there's probably 1,300 people in the room. I just want to show you this picture. It's amazing. Take a look. You're just seeing a fraction of them. It's unreal. All those names of people on that banner that had recommitted their life to Jesus, brand new recommits, some from our church, never given their life to Jesus, are standing in those seats with their hands open. It's powerful. And you know what you felt in that room in that moment? Unbelievable, pure gratitude for each other. It was amazing. So my question to you is this. Are you feeling tired? Are you feeling stressed? Are you feeling anxiety? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Try refocusing. Start looking at God, realizing how good he is and how good, all the good things that he's doing. That gratitude will bring you rest. I said feel like I've been run over by a bus. I do. But I told you my heart, my soul are full. I am at rest because God is good. So I'm going to pray. We're going to sing one final song. And it's not going to be the typical, like, slow, nice. We're going to celebrate God. We're going to give praise to God. Literally, the name of the song is praise. And so I hope that we get a little bit of NTS camp going on up in here. And let's praise. Can we do that? We're going to get it going. We'll get it rocking. All right, let me pray for us. God, I thank you for this opportunity to praise you. I thank you that you are awesome. I thank you that you died on the cross for us. I thank you, God, that you love us, that you chose us first, that we didn't have to choose you first. You chose us first, and that you've offered all of you, all of your hope, all of your grace, all of your forgiveness, all of your joy, all of your peace, all of you to us. You've offered everything, all of you to us. And we are here. We are grateful. And today, we're going to end by singing praise to you. We're going to sing praise to you. We're going to praise you, God. We're going to praise you because you deserve our praise. You deserve our gratitude. And you want to give us unbelievable, genuine, deep rest. But first, we need to be grateful for where we are and who we are and who you are. And so we're going to sing praise to you. We're going to celebrate you as we walk out today. And we're looking forward to it, God. You are awesome. You are good. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay.